Genesis 32. 2 decades before, Jacob fled from Esau and his family to his uncle Laban in Haran. Now he is fleeing away from the Laban only to be confronted by Esau. After 20 years, Jacob's past has catching up with him, and he is afraid. It's strange how we convince ourselves that because I'm in different time and different location, maybe nobody knows what happened. Does God forgive our sins? Yes. 1,000 times yes. When we repent, yes. But does it mean that he just wink at it, wipe away, and all goes hunky-dory? No, not necessarily. Sometimes he does. But most of the time, he brings that sin to us. And sometimes we have to live in shame. What Jacob did to his father and brother was forgiven by God. But neither time nor location could change the consequences of those acts. As we study Jacob's action during this crisis time of his life, we will see the conflict all of us occasionally experience between faith and fear, and trusting God and scheming, asking God for help, then acting as though we don't even know God. Crisis does not make a man, but it only show what a man is made of. You follow me? Somebody who is very wise said this: Christian is a lot like a tea bag. You don't know what that tea is until you put it in the hot boiling water. It reveals who you are. You may say, well, I can handle this. I can go through the trial. I can come out very good. Really? It's easy for us to talk about other people's trial because we are not in that person's shoes. But once we are in that person's shoes, it is a different story. While we are going to be the silent viewers of Jacob's scheming and wrestling with God this morning, we are going to realize that we often do the exact same thing as Jacob. Let's learn to trust our Lord instead of scheming. And you may say, well, I never scheme. Really? Maybe it may not be a big degree the way Jacob did. Well, we try to negotiate. We try to wiggle way out. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We extol your name because you are our God. You are our mighty God. Your work, praise you, holy name. And they speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power. And Father, we pray that what we do, what we say, and what we think, somehow bring glory to your name. First of all, to do that, we have to learn how we behave ourselves in the midst of trouble. In the midst of the doubt arise, when we face the trials, when the place we are standing is shaking, we need to remember that you are our solid rock. Father, we pray that you speak to us through your word, your unchanging word. Father, we pray that you open our heart to receive your wisdom. Anoint our heart and anoint the one who speaks. Father, we pray for our president and the politicians and judges, as your word said in Romans chapter 13. Well, Father, we pray that your will be done in their lives, and they may do what is right in your sight, not according to their sight. And Father, we pray for our troops, especially the one whose family got killed, 2 soldiers and some wounded. Comfort those who fallen soldiers' family and friends, and an injured one as well. Another officer got killed, and another one injured. Father, we pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Father, you're willing. As they protect our lives, we're asking you to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 32, please. Then the Jacob sent a messenger. Verse 1. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When the Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Stop there, please. Jacob noticed that he was not alone there. He noticed the God's angels with him. Last time when he saw the God's angels, that was 20 years ago, and he saw them big ladder going up from the earth to heaven, up and down. And this time, he saw the group of angels to encourage him because God knew that he's going to be shaking in his boots. Okay, shaking in his sandal, not boots. This wonderful revelation of God's presence and the care came after Jacob finally separated from Laban, the worldly man. Listen carefully, please. Separation from the world always brings greater insight about God to the believers of Jesus Christ. Some of you guys know this by experience. You backslidden, or you came to know Jesus Christ. When you read the Bible, before you couldn't understand, it's like a blah, 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 blah. And now you read the Bible, all of a sudden, wow, I get it. That's what happened to me. 1987, I got saved. I used to make fun of my wife, poor thing. She told me about the Jesus coming back soon. So I said, sure. She took all the garbage from me. And once I got saved, I could understand Book of Revelation. And I know some people say that the Book of Revelation is a difficult book. It is. It is. However, don't think that it's not a comprehensible book. The meaning of a revelation means open. You follow me? Instead of saying, I don't get it, but try to understand it. With the correlation with the other verses, treasury, scripture, knowledge comes in handy. When you have that book next to you with a treasury, scripture, knowledge, and Bible, you can understand the Book of Revelation without any problem. Yes, there is a lot of symbols, but you can understand. God gives us a lot of reminders that He is in control of everything all the time. It is up to us to accept His reminders. But if we choose not to accept His reminders, even if God Himself show up in front of us, we still would be afraid and fret about the future for nothing. Are you with me? If you choose not to believe God's promise, there's nothing anyone can do for you. You can choose to believe or you can choose not to believe. It's completely up to you. You know what they said? You can take the donkey to the water, but you cannot make the donkey to drink water. Same thing. Verse 3, please. When the Jacob sent a messenger before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, and he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban, and stay there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, and flocks, and a male and female servant. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find a favor in your sight." Then the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, "We have come to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided people that were with him, the flock and the herd and the camels, into the two companies. And he said, "If Esau come to the one company and attack it, then the other company which is left will escape." Jacob was not sure about this 400 horsemen coming. He is not sure whether this is a welcoming party or to assault his family and to kill them all. So he started to trust himself. He just met a group of angels. He said, "Wow, this is God's place." And then all of a sudden he pulled back to himself, started trusting himself. and his own scheme. So he tried to divide his wealth and the people. In one group, he says, female slaves slash wives, go in the front. I'm sure they felt much better being in the front, become a cannon fodder. And the group of his wife, and Rachel and Leah, in the second group. And he becomes the third group, trying to protect himself and his family instead of believing what God is going to do. When the Laban, remember last Sunday when we studied when Laban was confronting Jacob, he stood boldly against Laban. Remember that? Why did he, how could he do that? Why is he not doing it now? He was able to stand against Laban because he was in the right. But against Esau, he was in the wrong. So all of a sudden, he's afraid. I love the way this Shakespeare, William Shakespeare said. He said, conscience does make cowards of us all. How true. In a similar way, Jacob represented many Christians who have Jesus in their heart, yet they are terrified for their unknown future and haunted by their ugly past sins. God is our protector for your future and our past sins that were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you with me? What are you going through today? Are you scared to death? Are you shaking inside of you? What are you trying to believe? Are you trying to believe the system in this world? Or are you trying to believe God who made this world? That's your choice. That's my choice. This is what I do. Okay, whenever do I have a fear? Yes, absolutely, I have a fear. But I always fall back to my God's track record. I've been working with the Lord since 1987, as I mentioned. For 30-some years, He never let me down, not even once. He chastised me when I did wrong, but He never let me down. Do I look like a starving? No, He never let me down. Because He loved me, and He cared for me, and He fulfilled His promise. If God does not fulfill His promise because He cannot handle your situation, He ain't God. He can handle it. Trust Him. Verse 9. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return, get this guys, underline this, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am now worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff. Now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I prayed, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make you a descendant as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Stop there again, please. You know, you heard this, or maybe you said this. When you are neck deep in trouble, or Korean people call it kimchi. Why kimchi? Because it stinks. No offense, Anna. You can smell the person who's just had the kimchi because it's a rotten cabbage. That's what it is. And when you are in that kind of trouble, it's easy for us to think that, well, we'll try this. And that all failed. Guess what we do? This is nothing we can do except pray. Have you ever heard that? Or have you ever said that? If you're honest, probably you did. We should pray first. Are you with me? We should pray first. Whenever there is even hint of a trial, you should pray first. Jacob will still come to God with his prayer. He's reminding God with his promise. He said, Verse 9, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. Listen, many of our prayer falls short because there is none of the God's word within them. Often there is none of the God's word in them because there is little word of God in us. If you have a prayer request, reflect it against the word of God. If you are lacking in money, let me ask you this. If you think you're going to starve to death, ask God whether He's going to provide all you need or not. Does the Word of God, let me ask you this. Does the Word of God say that He will provide all our need? Not want, right? If you want a Cadillac, that's your problem. If you have a need, God will meet that need. You're thinking about lobster and steak, and God might give you ramen. It's a food, isn't it? It may not be what you want, but He will meet our need. Put your prayer request against what God's promise says. And do you find any of God's promise? Then it will cover you, whether He will cover it or not. And then, if it's covered by the God's promise, you have a confidence that it will be done according to His will and according to His time. That's another thing, folks. We want our prayer done right now, don't we? Because we are living in the microwave age. Everything had to be done right now. You type something into Google, boom, comes up. 40 million answers. We want everything instant. The Lord used patience that brings hope in Him to teach me many things, make me wait. How do we know that if what I pray is according to His will, how do I know that it will be done? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to the 1 John chapter 5, please. Keep your finger in Genesis. Go to 1 John, way in the back, near the book of Revelation, about 3 or 4 books before. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is another verse that you should memorize. So good. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to my will, right? Whose will? Whose will? God's will. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. Amen? Many of us take our burden to the Lord in prayer. That's good. Very good. We just spread before Him, spread them out, and we pray. After the prayer, guess what we often do? We put them all back in our backpack and stick them on our back and walk. And we have a burden on our back. That's not the way we should do. I love the way that George Mueller, the great man of faith and prayer in England, I believe it was the 18th century, once he was asked, what was the most important part of prayer? He replied, the 15 minutes after I have said amen. Do you get it? After you said it, I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now you have to believe in what you just asked Him to do. Back to Genesis 32, verse 13. Now we lodged there that same night, and he lodged there same night, took what came to his hand as a present for for Esau, his brother. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewe, and 20 ram, and 30 male camel with their colt, and 40 cows, 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys, and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servant, and every drove by them by itself, and said to his servant, pass over before me, put some distance between successive droves. Then he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, met you and asked you, saying, to whom do you belong, and where are you going, whose are these in front of you? Then you shall say, They are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my Lord Esau. And behold, he also is behind us. So he commanded the second and the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, in this matter you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also said, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present went on before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. Stop there again, please. In the man's thought, this might be a great idea with the escape plan, but not in God's way. Unfortunately, Jacob would rather depend on his capability as a con man than God's. We've already learned that the faith is living without scheming. Can you say that with me? Faith is a living without scheming. But before we criticize Jacob, we need to examine our own heart to see if we've ever been guilty of praying piously and then depending on our own schemes and resources. I've done that before. Haven't you done it? Am I the only one? If it's true, the faith without work is dead. But Jacob's gift to Esau was not work of faith because God did not command him to do it. You've heard, heaven helps those who help themselves, right? It must be in the Bible because it mentioned heaven, right? No, it's not in the Bible. If you find it, I'll give you $20. It doesn't work. If you write it in your Bible, that doesn't count. True faith, listen. True faith is based on God's word. And whatever we do that is not motivated by faith is a sin. No matter how successful it may appear. You might succeed. You might have a lot of money because you schemed. But that's not from God. All right, verse 22, please. And he arose, Jacob arose at that night, and I took his two wives and two female servants and his 11 sons across over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over them what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until the day breaking of day. Verse 25. When he saw that he did not, note that two words, did not, could not, prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him, and said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So that he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. I want you to underline Jacob and Israel, please. It's very important. For you have a struggle with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You know, this is the first MMA fight recorded in the Bible. In case you don't know what the MMA is, a mixed martial art. I believe that God got Jacob's full attention by now. He had Uncle Laban back up him, and Esau with 400 horsemen in front of him. Jacob is no match for either one, and he doesn't need a third opponent. And here he's all alone by himself at night, and all of a sudden there's someone who is struggling with him. By the way, have you noticed? At night, whatever the pain you have, it seems like amplified multiple times. He cut now between the rock and the hard place. It is when we get alone with God, good things happen. And you're thinking, struggling with God is a good thing? We'll explain. Let's not think that the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, that's who he is here, could not handle Jacob. He could handle. It lasts long, all night long. It was not Christ who was struggling with Jacob. Rather, it's Jacob who was struggling with God. Why? In what sense? He still wants his ways. Are you with me? He still wants his way and trying to fight against God's way. That's what he's doing. Now he was cornered and he was pinned down. I believe that this, the portion of the verse 25 is a poor English translation. I looked at the several different translations. All of them are the same. It almost sounds like the pre-incarnate Jesus could not handle Jesus, handle Jacob. Let me put it in this way. Maybe this will explain to you better. Let's say you are 6'4", 240 pound, all muscle. And some of you are thinking, I wish. Yeah, I wish you too. And your son jumped on you and wrestling with you. And your four-year-old son grabbed hold of your neck, and he's thinking he's winning because he's on top of you, he's choking you with his strength. You're playing with him, and the phone rang. So you got up with your son still dangling on in front of you. And you're answering the phone, and you could take him off to you, of you anytime you want, right? That's the case far more than that. Somehow we think that when we struggle with God, he cannot do anything other than the way we want. Does God really don't have a choice? He has many choices. We are the one who is running out of choices. I've learned many different disciplines of martial arts. Taekwondo, Judo, and Aikido. And eventually I learned the combat martial arts from the Korean military. But I've never met any martial arts master who could touch a person's hip and pull him out of socket. Only God could pull that kind of thing. We must know that we serve God who is greater than us. This is not an invaluable place where God pins us down. There is something to be said for every person doing his wrestling with God, then acknowledging God's greatness after having been defeated. We must know that we serve a God who is greater than us, and we cannot conquer anything until he conquer us. Until he conquered our self-will. Jacob had been reduced to the place where all he could do is hold on to the load with all he has. But that's not a bad place to be. Because before Jacob could be delivered from the hand of his brother, he had to be delivered from his self-will and self-reliance. Are you with me? When Christ asked Jacob for his name, I'm sure that Jacob was felt kind of shame, because Jacob, to be honest with you, the meaning is a con man or supplanter or cheater. It's not a compliment. But the name Israel is a compound of two words. Sarah, meaning the prince or princess, or it also means the fight, struggle, or rule. Hebrew word El is meaning God. Some Bible scholars think that, according to English, struggling with God. No, or rule, judged by God. I'm sorry, struggling with God. But he is ruled with God. In the Hebrew name, God is not the object of the verb, rather it's the subject. Daniel means God judges, not he judges God. So the same principle applies here. Israel means God rules. So name change from the supplanter to God rules. Great name change. As I mentioned this before, this is where the nation of Israel started. Until then, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were Syrian people. Now there is a start of the Israel, the nation. Here something greater happened to him. Jacob went from the cunning to clinging, from resisting to resting in God. Now he was not fighting with God, rather hanging onto the Lord. Jacob thought the real enemy was outside of him, Esau. But the real enemy was his own carnal, fleshly desire, nature, and was not being conquered by God. Let me ask you this. What about you? How about you? Are you trying so hard to make things happen? Or is it a relationship issue with someone? Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, or maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend? Or is it your business? Whatever that is, instead of coming up with all the worldly tricks, why not cling unto the Lord who made everything in the universe with His words? Instead of resisting the will of God in your life, why not resting in Him? What do I mean, resting in Him? Trust Him and leave things in His hand, because He will not give you anything bad for you. Verse 31, please. Just as he crossed over the Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket. Because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrunk. The first memorial is the place called Peniel, in which means the face of God. The second memorial is a permanent limp. Jacob would remember each time he take a step as he limp, he's going to remember, God touched me. God, I had to surrender to God instead of my own ways. I have three applications for you. Number one, separation from the world always bring greater insight about God to the believers of Jesus Christ. Remember where you came from. When you came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all of a sudden the Bible made sense. When you were backslidden and came back to the Lord, now all of a sudden you get to know God more than ever before. Second application. We should not expect God to bless our ways that He did not lead us to do. Don't try to tell God to bless your way. And you did something and it's not working well. So let's ask God to bless this. No, how about asking God before you start first? It's better to pray and ask Him first than obey what He tells us to do. Third application. Instead of fear, we should have faith in the Lord. Instead of resist, we need to rest in His mighty power. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.